couple of weeks ago we spoke about tefillah, and to some degree its connection to tshuva, to returning towards Hashem Yisborach through tefillah. And I want to really build a little bit on what we spoke about then, obviously because of the proximity of our time to Rosh Hashanah, so we should be focusing on the relationship of tefillah and tshuva. We should be finding sort of any avenue or entry point to focus differently on tshuva. And as well, because of the what really emerges in this parsha, things, a couple of ideas we may have alluded to before, but emerge from the parshios of this week, from Nitzavim Vayelech, and are very, very instructive in this regard. Just want to begin by pointing out a pasuk that is in our parsha that doesn't really have to do directly with tefillah, but is would seem to be very, very instructive regarding tshuva. In Parshas Nitzavim, at what's called Revi or Sheni this week, where we read the two together, V'hayoki avayu alecha kol advarim ha'ela abrocha v'aklola shenasati lefanecha. The first part of Nitzavim speaks about instance where perhaps because of certain people's lack of commitment to the Teres Hashem, to the bris, to the covenant, so all kinds of difficulties, as were described so vividly in last week's parsha, could befall the Jewish people. And it says, when all of these things will come upon you, you will take it to heart amongst all of the nations that Hashem has dispersed you there. You will return to Hashem your God, and you will listen to His voice, like everything that I instruct you today, you and your sons, with all your heart, with all your soul, and Hashem will return your captives and have compassion on you, gather you in from all the nations, if your distant ones will have been pushed to the ends of the skies, from there Hashem will gather you and bring you back. And Hashem will bring you back to the land that your forefathers had inherited, and you will inherit it. And He will make you better and greater than your forefathers. Those three words. Here you have it. That Kol Yisrael failed. Because of their failure, they suffered terrible difficulties. Included in those difficulties was the exile, the galus, and the dispersion to all ends of the earth. Okay, so you do tshuva. And you do tshuva, and we do national tshuva, and Hashem brings us back. Okay, I meichel you, I forgive you. But what it says here is, I will bring you back and make you better and greater than aveisecha, than the ones who were there before. Now, Chazal make drushes on this pasuk. The first time the Jewish people came in, they had to wait some time before they settled the land, before the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael kicked in. Now, it went right away. The first time they came in, they conquered the lands of the seven nations. The ultimate, the last time, they'll get all 10 nations. Whatever the drasha, whatever the meaning that might be a partial meaning, so to speak, of a specific ramification, a specific consequence where things will be different. But there's a general idea here. And the general idea is that the Jewish people, forgiven and brought back, is not, okay, forgiven and brought back. We'll bring you back. Scars, wounds, marking the relationship. The opposite, it would seem. You come back, and it'll be even bigger and even stronger than before. Somehow, here in this pasuk, we already have to some degree expressed that idea, that general statement which Chazal say, of b'mokem shabalei tshuva aimdim, afilu tzadikim gemurim einam yecholin lamud, that where the person who did tshuva stands, even the righteous, always righteous, RFBs, right, righteous from birth, would not be able to stand there and join them there. there's some special kayach, some special advantage and strength that the pasuk says, "Ve'tivcha v'hirbucha mi'avosecha." And dover atzarachim, it's something that needs to be understood. I mean, the whole concept needs to be understood, and perhaps we need to understand it especially because of the tkufa, the time of tshuva. So I want to approach the shir tonight in two steps. First step, I want to just stop on a pasuk, on a couple of psukim in our parsha that deal, it would seem, directly with the relationship of tshuva and tefillah, and at the same time, and then come back to speak specifically, perhaps, about, you know, less about, you know, the tshuva component, as we have just seen, the extra strength that a person would have, it seems, as a result, as a consequence of tshuva. In Parshas Vayelech, there's a classic question. A question which we have certainly discussed before, if not in the context of these shiurim. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Hincha sheichev im aveisecha, behold, you will lie to rest with your forefathers, v'kama amazeh, and this nation will arise, v'zonach, arei elehene char oret, and they will stray after the estranged gods of the land, asher uvashama v'kirbay, that they're coming in their midst. V'azavani, they will abandon me, they will break my covenant that I made with them, and I will be angry with them on that day, v'azavtim, and I will leave them, v'istarti ponai mehem, and I will hide my face from them, v'hoyol le'echol, and they will be subject to being consumed by others. Umitzauhu rois rabbis fitzorais, and terrible difficulties and struggles will find them. Va'omar bayemahu, and they will say on that day, Haloi al kiena lekai bekirbi mitzauni arois ve'ele. It's because Hashem is not in our midst that all of these difficulties have befallen us. V'yonoichi, and I, hastir panai bayemahu, hide, I will surely hide my face on that day. I'll call Aroa Asher Osa for all of the bad that they have done. Kifono el Elohim Acherim, because they turn to other gods. And the classic question which is posed here is, by the Rishonim, some posing it as a question, some just addressing it conversationally. How is it that when the Jewish people seem to have a textbook response to their difficulties, they endure all kinds of hardships, and what do they say? Do they write it off as chance? No. Do they see it as simply, you know, I don't know, could have happened to anyone? They said the reason why this happened is because God isn't in our midst. Alkieno ikabakirbi. Because Hashem isn't in our midst. They realize that there's something missing. And yet, even after such a recognition, such an inspired, it would seem, recognition of the divine causes behind human events and tragedies, the way we, halavai, would be able to respond, the pasuk goes on and says, and I will continue to hide my face from them on that day for all the evil, for all the rough, for all the bad things that they have done. What's wrong? What's missing? What's missing from what they have done? So the Ramban here writes as follows. Pamacheres. Anoichi astir ponai pamacheres. Let me go back one pasuk. V'tam v'omar bayemahu aloi al keina leikai bekirbi. Einenu vidui gomor. It's not a complete vidui. It's not a complete confession, as we have by the Yisvadu es Havainam, they shall confess their sins. Avalu hirhur v'charota. But it's a thought and a regret. Sheishchartu al mo'alom. They will regret what they have done wrong. V'yakiru ki Hashem imhem. And they will recognize their guilt. And but Hashem will continue to hide His face, says the pasuk, explains the Ramban. Ki bavur shehiraru Yisrael belibum ki chotu le'elokim. Just because they had the thought in their mind that they sinned to God, v'yakiena le'elokim bekirbam, it's omar roi se'ela, and that because God isn't in their midst, they've encountered all of these troubles. Hayaroi l'rev chazi Hashem shiyazrim v'yatzilim. Wouldn't it have been suitable that Hashem in His kindness should have saved them, should have helped them? Karkofru b'avay dezara, they already denied idolatry, negative things. Yirmiyahu says, I'm judging, he says, name Hashem, I'm judging you because you denied your failings. Here the Jewish people are not in denial. They recognize, they acknowledge. What's missing? Says, but indeed, because what they had done was so drastic, because they had turned away from Hashem so significantly, that's what the pasuk says, Al kol ara asher asu, because it was so terrible, that they had turned to other gods. So Hashem says, you know, you're not going to have the same rois rabbis v'tzoris. In the previous pasuk it said you'll have difficulties, pain. Here it says, I'll just hide my face from you. Which means, no more difficulties. No more terrible things. However, no redemption either. Nothing that's going to strike from Hashem. But on the other hand, neither will the positive come from Hashem. And explains the Ramban, so what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If they already did this tshuva, what's missing? Until the regret expressed before becomes a full confession and a full tshuva. K'moshinizkar l'mala, as it says in the previous parsha, which we also read the Shabbos, v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, and you will return to Hashem your God. Says the Ramban that there are two levels to tshuva, and there are two levels to Hashem's response. There's a level of tshuva, and a level of, in a sense, to some degree, perhaps the tefillah of tshuva, which takes us halfway, which removes from us perhaps the fury or the anger, the rois, rabbis, v'tzoreis, the terrible difficulties, the terrible tzoreis that could befall our people, that have befallen our people in the past. Lo'aleinu should never happen again. We can have one level where we do some kind of a tshuva, recognizing our weakness, recognizing our failure to be with Hashem, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stop those things. But we're still not Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. We still have not returned to Hashem. And so while the difficulties, Hashem may not send difficult things towards us, but He will not either reveal Himself to us up close, Gilui Shechina, an open restoration of the relationship. That won't happen either. In other words, there's something called removing hostility, and there's something called establishing closeness. To remove hostility, one has to make sure that they're not doing bad things. One has to go through the process of self-examination, oshamnu, bogadnu, gozalnu, to look at the various activities that we engage in. See which should be done, see which shouldn't. Stop doing what shouldn't be done. Recognizing that there's a Rabbona Shel Olam that's behind everything that happens. Al kiyena lokai v'kirbi mitzauni arayis ha'ela. That's one aspect of the process of tshuva. And that's one aspect of the tfilos of tshuva. The viduyim. A self-examination. And then there's another side. And the other side is the side that brings the open presence of Hashem. That's v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha. The Mabit that I've mentioned to you before. Mabit, one of the late Rishonim, early Acharonim. Mabit wrote a sefer called Beis Elokim. The second section deals with tshuva. And he speaks about the definition of tshuva, which he says to come close to Hashem from the distance which was created by chet, by sin. And he writes about this idea, which Rabbeinu Yonah writes about in the Ikar, in fact, in the one of the, I don't remember which number it is, of Tefillah of Tshuva, and we mentioned this last time, a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about it, that there is one aspect of tshuva, which is that Hashem shouldn't punish. Right? You want to get mechila. You want to get forgiveness. So, we do what we can. We turn away from our sins so that we will be forgiven, because certainly we can't obtain forgiveness if we continue to be chronic, you know, doing the same thing without really making an effort to change. So that's one level, to knock down the hostility, to take away the hostility which would exist, which would be manifest in some kind of a need, heaven forbid, for punishment and for consequences. But that's not tshuva. Tshuva is v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. That might be charata, it might be regret. It might be one element, the internal element of vidui, the self-examination element of vidui. But tshuva is v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Is honor Hashem. Is Hashem, please, 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 I want to come close to you. Is honor Hashem. That's what we wrote about in the Torah, we read about in the Torah Nitzavim, of Vishafta Ad Hashem Alekecha Vishamata B'Kayli. You should return to Hashem, Ad Hashem. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Alekecha. That's not do tshuva to be pure again and free of any terrible actions which we did. Not do tshuva to make ourselves better people. Of course that's part of it. That's part of the process. But it's Ad Hashem Alekecha, it's to come close to Hashem. We talked about this, we've talked about this over this year of study of Tefillah, which I hope has helped us in being able to make Tefillah something more real. That Tefillah is the idea of Amida Bifnei Hashem, of standing before Hashem, and achieving some level of that closeness, which is very much Me'ein, the same idea that we have in Tshuva. I would like to try now to clarify this a little bit more. Again, this is a very Yesodistic Ramban. The Sforno here has his own explanation, slightly different, importantly different, but we're not going to discuss that today. Instead, I want to turn perhaps to another aspect here that we speak about with tshuva, and that perhaps can make us therefore able to understand a little bit more about this tefillah, a little bit more about the tshuva. A little bit more about their interrelationship. In the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Megillah, the Gemara has a section where it speaks about the Seder Brachos, the order of the Brachos of the Shmona Esrei. The Gemara gets into the discussion because it speaks about how the Megillah has to be read in order. You can't read the, you know, if you come late to Kriyas HaMegillah, you don't follow the first few chapters, then go back and make up what you missed at the beginning. You have to read it from beginning to end, in order. And the Gemara talks therefore also about tefillah. Tefillah also has to be read in order. And the Gemara explains why the order of brachos was established the way it was. 18, 19 brachos of the Shmona Esrei. A sequence. What's the basis for the sequence? Why do the brachos come in the position that they do? And the Gemara explains one after the other, most of the time citing psukim, verses which juxtapose the ideas of the various brachos and seem to show them, you know, by drawing throughout the Tanakh, seeing it as a sequence. And the Gemara says, Umauro loymar tshuva acharbina. Why does it say the bracha of tshuva after the bracha of bina? The Gemara had explained in the previous line, I should really go back there, where it explained why we go from the bracha of ata kadosh, you are holy, and the holy shall praise you every day, to the bracha of ata chonein ladam das, you grant people wisdom. Umalamid lanosh bina. Says the Gemara, why? Because the pasuk says, they will sanctify the sacred one of Yaakov, Hashem, and the God of Israel they will praise. That's akin to the bracha of Ata Kadosh. You are Kadosh, and the Holy shall praise you. And then what does it say? V'yedu tayei ruach bina. The Toei Ruach, the people whose spirit is confused, will then gain Bina, will then gain wisdom and understanding. So we go from Ata Kadosh to Bina. But we refer to them as the Toei Ruach get Bina. The people whose spirit is confused will be granted wisdom. Like we ask Hashem, give us Dea Bina Vahaskel, give us wisdom and understanding. And then the Gemara continues and says, Umar Rolem Ar Tshuvach Ar Bina. Why does it then say the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu, bring us back to your Torah, bring us close to your Avoda? Why does it say that after the bracha of Bina? Says the Gemara, because it says, Umar Olam Rechuvach Rabina Dechsiv Ulevava Yavin Vishav Virafalai. And his heart will understand, the Pasuk says, and Vishav, and he will do tshuva, and he will be healed. The Gemara takes to mean forgiveness. So from Bina, we come to tshuva. From understanding, we come to tshuva. And simply, of course, you say, you know, when you finally get it, when you finally get wisdom, so then a person, of course, will do the right thing. Yavin v'shav v'rafalai. Ein adam chote, Elohim kei nichnas by ruach shtus. Person only sins, Chazal say, if somehow they get possessed by some moment of insanity of some kind, to do something like that. So if all we had would be wisdom, so we would immediately do tshuva. We would do the right thing, perhaps, to begin with. But the truth is that there's a little bit of a step further to that. A step further to this idea of Bina. Because we find, really, in the Gemara, a few blots earlier, a few pages earlier, on Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara says, the Gemara here is in the midst of the famous Megillah Purim discussion. If you remember, Ahasuerus made his meal because he thought, 70 years have passed, the Jewish people haven't been redeemed, we're home free. Right? Remember that? So Ahasuerus did it because he had a calculation of when the 70 years would end, similar to Belshazzar before him, who also made such a calculation and miscalculated. And the Gemara says, Daniel also made a calculation, right? These were the non-Jewish kings. But Daniel, the great Jew, one of the great leaders of the Jewish people in Babel, he also made a cheshbon, a calculation, v'toh, and he made a mistake. How do we know that he made a mistake? Says the Gemara. Because it says, Ani Daniel binaisi basforim. I, Daniel, I binaisi. Binaisi is from the term bina. I discerned in the books. Says the Gemara, Midakomar binaisi, michlal detor. Since it uses the term binaisi, that implies that he had made a mistake previously. And now he looked at it with a new eye and he understood. Bina, the notion of Bina of wisdom, is not just wisdom of any kind. Bina is learning from mistakes. Bina is a wisdom of discovery. Not discovery, you know, I was sitting here one day and I looked through this glass and suddenly I saw little subatomic particles. You know, that's a discovery of something new. And of course, you can sometimes discover something new, a wisdom, an insight that gives you some new guidance, some new way to go. But Bina is not discovering something new. Bina is correcting something old. There was something there that was wrong, that was mistaken. Ani Daniel binaisi basvarim. Bina is a wisdom born of experience, not positive experience. A wisdom born of negative experience. That's the verse which the Gemara brings. V'yedu toei ruach bina. The people whose spirits were confused will suddenly gain Bina, the wisdom, the understanding of what they didn't have before to resolve the confusion of earlier. And says the Gemara, it's Bina that leads to tshuva. It's specifically the Bina which is the corrective wisdom, the corrective understanding that leads the person to tshuva, that leads the person to the better path. Bina. Now it's a very interesting thing, because in the Sfarim it says that the gematria, we usually don't spend so much on this, but this is a classic and very obviously strong gematria, that Bina, the numerical value of Bina, right, which is the same as the numerical value of Elul, right, 67. Right, Bina and Elul. Elul is the time, this month, before Rosh Hashanah, where a person is supposed to be going from wherever it is to tshuva, right? To Rosh Hashanah, to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, to the 10 days of tshuva. And the Gemara says, tshuva comes after Bina. Right? Tshuva comes after Elul. And Elul is specifically the wisdom, the corrected wisdom, the adjusted wisdom, the wisdom that has to be fixed and rearticulated, love that was lost before and that was confused before. And of course, as you know, historically that is the case. Because the Arboim Yoim, the 40 days that we are in the midst of, that start from Rosh Chodesh Elul, right, and we've used up 20-something of them, 21 or 22 of them already, and then they culminate on Yom HaKippurim. What are these 40 days? These were the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai the third time to receive the Luchos Shniyos, to receive the second set of Luchos. First they accepted the Torah on Shavuos. Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days and 40 nights and learned the entire Torah. And then Shivasar B'Tamuz came down, broke the Luchos. Why? Because Klal Yisrael had sinned. And so the wisdom of the past was gone, was broken. The Torah, the connection of the past, was broken. And they davened for 40 days. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay. And during the last 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught the Torah again. And it was in those last 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu also regained the full ratzon, the full connection to Hashem. It was on Yom Kippur, at the end of the last 40 days, Hashem said, Tzolachti Kidvarecha. Right, I've forgiven as you have asked. Right, that's the tradition, even though it says in the Torah by the Meraglim. But that's what he said on Yom Kippur. We say it at the beginning of Yom Kippur, we say it at the end of Yom Kippur. Vayem Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha. Those last 40 days were days of prayer. On some level, Hashem had already listened to Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer at the beginning of those 40 days, though. He said at the beginning of those 40 days, carve out the luchos, come up here, and I'll write on them. He was telling already what he was going to be intending to do 40 days down the line. What shocked, what created the ratzon, what created the connection that closed the deal, was at this point not the tefilos of the last 40 days, as much as the Matan Torah of the last 40 days. Yom Kippur is the day of Matan Torah. And it's the Torah of Bina. It's the Torah of wisdom. The specific brand of Bina, which was Michlal D'Torah, which came from an earlier mistaken understanding. Somehow the Torah, which was given to the Jewish people the first time, they didn't apprehend, they didn't understand, they didn't comprehend properly. Their understanding was confused. The Torah was smashed, figuratively as well as literally. You might ask, you know, the luchos were smashed, so give me back the other luchos. I need another 40 days to learn the Torah again. No, it wasn't just the luchos which were smashed. The wisdom was smashed. And there needed to be a new Matan Torah and a new Matan Bina, a new wisdom. And that's what these 40 days are. Elul is Bina. It's Tefillah. It's Bina. The Gemara says the principle, and it says sometimes a person's only oimed al dvar halacha, ainad oimed al dvar halacha, right? Al divrei Torah l'kein nichshal b'hem. A person only can sometimes really dehear, understand the words of Torah if they've slipped in them, if they fail first, and then they learn from the difficult experience, the bina. Somehow it deepens. It deepens the wisdom, it deepens the understanding. A couple of weeks ago when we were speaking about the aspect of tefillah, so we learned the Gemara in Saita, where the Gemara says that in tefillah there's a notion of schar halicha, of reward for traveling. If a person travels a greater distance to get to a shul, so they have extra schar halicha, they have extra reward for the journey. And we explained then, I'm not going to go over the whole thing, we explained then, as Rav Huttner explained beautifully, the words of the Maharal and the Maimar, it doesn't apply generally to mitzvahs. If a person goes a greater distance to buy a lulav, you know, that's not extra schar halicha, it's not extra reward. It's in the case of tefillah. And he explained because, whereas other mitzvahs, you know, what you're trying to do is accomplish the mitzvah, so any setup for it is really, yeah, it's a hechsher mitzvah, it's something you're doing to accomplish the mitzvah, but the accomplishment is only in the mitzvah itself. But tefillah, the goal is to come close to Hashem, to miyaymed b'fnei Hashem, to connect to Hashem. And therefore, every step towards Him, just like every step towards Yerushalayim and the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, is part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's not a hechsher mitzvah. It's not just a step you have to take in order to be able to do the mitzvah standing before Him. Moving towards Him is part and parcel of ultimately standing before Him. And therefore, in tefillah, the halicha is part of the process. And the bigger the journey, the longer the journey, the more the reward. The farther you are traveling from to come close to Hashem, to some degree, the more you're relishing it, the more you're understanding what it means to be close to Hashem. Sometimes, as the world says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Sometimes from a distance, when a person recognizes the great distance, the great absence, so then it makes for the greatest closeness to understand that much better what a distance we have to travel in order to get there. And that makes the tefillah a bigger tefillah. And that's the concept in Shuvah. It's the concept in Shuvah. Because whereas the Tzadik Gomor has no schar halicha, he has no reward for coming close to Hashem, he was there all the time. But the person who travels to come close to Hashem, that person is different. There's a schar halicha. Because as a person moves and moves and moves towards Hashem, there's some difference, there's some qualitative difference to that which he will have when he will be closer to Hashem. When he will ultimately arrive, so to speak, at the same position. But he knows, wow, where he's standing, as opposed to the person, so to speak, who might have been used to it all. It's a schar halicha. And that's the ve'hitivcha ve'hirbecha mi'avusecha. Yes, the first aspect of tshuva, it doesn't make sense. The first aspect of tshuva, which we mentioned when we started tonight with the Ramban, where he says, well, on the one hand, they recognize that they've done things wrong, right? The part of tshuva where you look at yourself and do a self-examination, you try to remedy things. Why should that be better than if you never sinned? To get forgiveness that Hashem doesn't punish? It's better if you never sinned, you don't have to ask for forgiveness, than to sin and then ask for forgiveness. Of course that's better. But when we talk about the relationship of closeness to Hashem, which Ramban says is still missing, the person may have ceased the hostilities, but they haven't yet forged the closeness. You need v'shavta av Hashem alaykecha, the hiskarbus, the forging of the closeness to Hashem, that indeed the distance may make the heart grow fonder, and may make the process of approaching and coming close and searching and creating bigger, stronger, and create a real, real, real connection that wouldn't have existed in the same way otherwise. And that's how the Pasuk can say. The Klal Yisrael will sin and they will fail and they'll have all kinds of difficulties. And then, from wherever you are, you'll do tshuva v'shavta ad Hashem, and you'll come closer to Hashem. You'll come close to Hashem. And when you come back now, you'll have even more than your fathers. Because it's with tshuva, it's with a long distance that we traveled in order to get close to Hashem. And that has its rewards. That creates something, that produces something. Bina. You do something, you misunderstand something, right? You made the mistake, and then you finally get it. You're not going to make that mistake again. It sinks in, it's understood. Right? Binaisi michlal d'ta. Now I'm going to look closely. I looked before, and I clearly made a mistake, so my eyes are sharpened to pick up what was missing before. And a big part of tshuva is bina. The predicate of tshuva is bina. We've been around the block again. We're a year older. We have a year's more of experience to learn from. We have a year more of potential bina, of potential wisdom, if we would only look back and understand and gain from the experience our wisdom, our understanding of ourselves, and our understanding of what is upon us and what we have to do, would be that much stronger, will be that much stronger, will be that much more connected, that much more effective. That's the bina. I heard magnificently from Rabbi Moshe Shapira, he said that's why the Gemara says that women have bina yisera. They have a special wisdom, a special understanding. Okay, so don't worry, I'm not going to say, and he didn't say, because they make more mistakes. Although that would make sense. But it's not true. We know that. So what's the idea? He said, Mishonadek. He said, beautiful. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. Right? He created man. And then what happened? He said, Loitayv. It's not good. Loitayv ayayis adam levada. It's not good for man to be alone. And so there was a second stage. And the second stage was where Vayiven, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu built, and that's the pasuk where we learn that he put in the woman Bina Yisera. He said, we have to adjust it, we have to fix it. And the creation of woman as a separate entity was because of the realizing of the weakness or what was lacking the first time. So it was a creation of Bina. It was a creation of wisdom. It was a creation of the correction of the Loitayv, of that which was missing the first time around. It's very insightful. That's the bina. That's the bina of correction. This Shabbos is the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. And this Shabbos is the Shabbos which is the last, the Shabbos when we read the last of the seven haftaras of Nechama, of consolation. We'll read not the haftarah, which is written as the haftarah of Vayelech, which is Shabbos Shuvah, which is for next week, but Sois Osis Bashem Togil Nafshi Be'Elokai Ki Ulishani Bigdayesh Amil Stokoyot. Rather, I will rejoice in Hashem, my soul will take glee in my God, because He has dressed me in the garments of salvation, etc. The last of the Shiva the Nechemta, of the seven chosen haftaras of consolation, that starts on Tisha B'Av, right after the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, Nachamu Nachamu Ami, we read those haftaras for two or three Shabbosos there in Av, and then for four or five Shabbosos in Elul, right, depending on how the calendar works out, and that brings us up to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we finish now with Tisha B'Av, we start with Rosh Hashanah. And it's not a coincidence. Obviously, calendar one step leads to the other. Tisha B'Av is the Yom Tov, the day on our calendar, which is the saddest day. And in a certain sense, there's also an aspect of Mayad, a festive aspect, as we've spoken many times before. And the idea is that on Tisha B'Av, you realize, we realize, we sit on the ground, we realize what we're missing. On Tisha B'Av, we say, Al ki ein elekai bekirvi mitzauni harai sa'ela. The first step. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not with us. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Shechina in our midst. And we realize it deeper than at any other time during the year. We work for 3 weeks before to build and build and build our understanding and our appreciation of how much we are missing. We establish our distance. And from that distance we travel. We move forth. Nechama, step by step coming close. Elul, step by step coming close. Till v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha. Till Rosh Hashanah. Till Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha. Because this is the process. This is the process of a tipcha v'hirbecha. Realize how far away you are and travel to get to where you need to get. And when you get there, without any fancy interpretations, says the Gemara, Kol amisabu al Yerushalayim zoche v'roya b'nechamasa. A person who grieves over Yerushalayim will merit to see its consolation. If you didn't miss it, then, oh wow, I didn't miss anything. So yesterday I lived in Madrid, and now I live in Jerusalem. What's the deal? But if the whole time you were pining and pining and pining over Yerushalayim, then it's a whole different story. Zoyche v'roya b'nechamasa. And Yerushalayim is just the same piece of Ad Hashem Elokecha. As in our parsha, the mitzvah of tshuva, v'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, which according to many Rishonim is the mitzvah of tshuva, is the mitzvah of returning from Golos. It's the mitzvah of going from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah. From Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah. From being scattered over the globe to being again by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Together. And the more we travel, the deeper the experience when we get there. Ve'tivcha ve'hirbacha me'avaisecha. Turn the distance into an asset. As the Gemara says, that if a person did tshuva me'ava, if a person does tshuva out of love, so the sins which he did in the past become like zochiyos, become like merits. If he did tshuva out of fear, then the sins which he did in the past, okay, they'll be written off as if they were done by mistake. And that's this distinction that we've been talking about tonight. That the Ramban talks about over here. Okay, so you realize you did something wrong. Tshuva Meira is not coming from a desire to be closer to Hashem. It's for whatever reason, you're afraid. You're afraid of the punishments. You're afraid of the consequences. You realize it was a bad thing. But that notion of av, of wanting to connect to Hashem, isn't there. There's yira, there's distance. Ein elokai bekirbi, I'm so far away from Hashem. So the fact that you did the averos makes you better? No, it doesn't make you better. Hashem will say, you know what? You made a mistake. I'll forgive you. We'll pretend as if it didn't happen to the extent that we can. You're stronger for it. You're not stronger for it. Because you're not coming close as a result. You're just throwing away the sins, dismissing them. But when it comes with ava, with the desire to come close to Hashem, so then the averos become like a schus. They become like a merit. Because the averos starved us of Hashem. And they increased and enhanced our appetite for Hashem. They made us want it that much more. And that's v'shavta at Hashem l'kecha. And that's v'heitivcha v'hirbucha mi'aveisecha. As in tefillah, the bigger we travel, the bigger distance we travel to come close to Hashem, the more the reward. In tshuva, it's in a certain sense the same way. And we're not supposed to take 3 steps back. We're not supposed to do a few extra averes before Rosh Hashanah, so we'll have an extra distance to travel. But to recognize that the tshuva is meaningful when we look at ourselves and try to make ourselves better. But the tshuva is complete and brings to the gilui shechina, to the remedy of Tisha B'Av, when it's v'shavta ad Hashem alekecha, when it's me'ava, when it's to build this way, when it's to learn from the distance, from the bina, to create the yachas, the closeness, to ingest, you know, the Torah of new understanding, then indeed we will travel the greatest distance and delight most at the point of our arrival. We'll be zeicha be'ezus Hashem to the true simcha of closeness to Hashem achieved through Rosh Hashanah, through Yom HaKippurim, to merit the true tekah b'shofar gadol cheruseinu, v'soneis l'kabitz gul yoseinu, v'shav Hashem alikecha shavuscha, v'chamecha v'shav v'kibetcha mikol ha'amin, asher efitzcha Hashem alikecha shem. We'll turn, we'll want to come back to Hashem, and Hashem will come and sweep us up and gather us, as was Hashem, close to Him, should happen in Meherah.